Hey, how's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is May 27, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got Raw to talk about here tonight, and some news as well. And Dave, what's going on?
Not too much. Interesting night, I guess.
I guess. This is the go-home show for Payback. It's coming up on Sunday. And what did you think of the show?
It was a show. I didn't think that there was anything all that spectacular about the show. The Shield and Evolution angle at the end of the show was pretty good. It was what it should have been. I mean, I think that the whole booking of that feud's been pretty good. And aside from that, it was a show. I mean, there was some basic stuff. Alicia Fox was good, lost, but I don't think that really matters too much. It's a low card thing. As far as promoting the pay per view. As far as a go-home show promoting a pay-per-view, when it was over, I couldn't even tell you much about the pay-per-view past the main event. I mean, they clearly positioned the main event, and then, Cena and Wyatt, I guess, but I didn't get anything. They did an angle with that, but it wasn't strong, and I think that feud's run its course. And as far as the undercard, they... You know, Sheamus and Cesaro are probably going to have a good match. Looks like they're going to do Big E and Rusev, although they didn't specifically say so. They are going to do Paige and Alicia Fox. And Alicia Fox did her same routine, which is breaks her out of the pack a little bit. And as far as anything else, I don't... You know, Barrett and RVD were positioned. Didn't do anything to excite me about the match. I'm not really looking forward to the match. Hornswoggle and Torito... did not. I think the Torito wrestling, they did that thing with Heath Slater. You can really only do that stuff once or twice, and I guess it's maybe the second time. But I felt after seeing that, watching it again was kind of stupid, and it didn't. You know, crowd was not too enthusiastic for the most part during the show, and to the point that in the post show, John Cena even made a mention about God, you guys aren't that enthusiastic. So I guess that WWE wasn't too thrilled with the crowd. I mean, you know, Knoxville's usually a good responsive city. They had a good crowd, I mean, as far as numbers of people. But, you know, when they got the Shield and, you know, they chant, this is awesome, when the Shield and Evolution were going at it. But maybe nothing else was awesome on the show. So probably, you know. Lawler angle, good. You know, used Lawler to get Bray Wyatt as a heel. In Tennessee, so that kind of worked to a degree, but I don't know. Just it wasn't like a great Raw by any means.
You're very forgiving of this Alicia Fox loss. I mean, I know it doesn't really matter, but can you give me one good reason why Emma had to beat Alicia Fox?
I can't give you one good reason. No, I can't give you it. It makes no sense at all.
And my pet peeve is she beats Alicia Fox, and then Alicia Fox just kicks her ass and leaves her laying afterwards. So again, why not just have Alicia Fox beat her?
I think that the idea is that she freaks out when she loses, and she gets over more by freaking out after losing. So they need to.
That sure makes me want to see her fight for the title.
If she wins, she doesn't have enough of a reason to freak out. No, I know. It doesn't. You know, it's a match. You know, the thing is, if the match with Paige was going to mean anything, and it was going to be a ticket seller, it's one thing. It's not. It's just bullshit on the card. And so her winning and losing, it just doesn't really bother me that they, you know, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't bother me because it's not an important enough match to where it really matters. And at the end of the day, she got her spotlight time, and she does better losing and freaking out than winning, because freaking out after winning doesn't makes probably even less sense.
Well, she did it for the past 3 weeks, and it was breaking her out of the pack.
Yeah, she lost most of those matches. Yeah, she beat Paige, but she lost to Paige and Emma the other 2 weeks, and that's when she was taking JBL's hat and Lawler's crown and all the stuff that she was doing. So she got over by losing. Now, as far as going for a championship and all that, They may give her the title, which if they do, that sure makes Paige's reign something special. But so I think because of that, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's because Paige's champion has been booked very poorly. So taking it from her will just, you know, continue that. If she goes and loses and then freaks out again, I don't know. What does that mean?
Maybe they'll add Emma.
At some point, you can't keep doing that.
Maybe they'll add Emma to the match.
Why?
I don't know, because Emma beat her, so you make it a three-way just for the hell of it, get another body on the card?
It weakens them.
That makes as much sense as anything they did tonight.
It weakens the thing, though. There's no.
It weakens it? It's as weak as can be right now.
What?
It's as weak as can be right now, with Alicia Fox, the loser, facing Paige.
You're taking... It's not... I mean, this is not a world championship match. This is a women's match where it doesn't really matter who wins and loses, and nobody really cares who wins and loses. It's not weak because Alicia Fox is stronger than most of the women. She's stronger than Tamina Snuka or you know, that Paige wrestled on the last pay-per-view. People are talking about her, you know. I mean, they sometimes talk about the women if they're good-looking and what they wear, but they don't usually talk about them for their angles. And in this case, people are. So I don't got an issue with it.
I have an issue with it. It infuriates me because it's just another thing. If you're going to give someone a championship match, just have them beat some people. I mean, I don't even understand the idea that her gimmick is that she loses and gets mad, but somehow she's in a championship match. It's just stupid.
What if she wins the championship?
Well, then they killed her angle. So her angle should be something else then.
Yeah, I don't know how they keep going with it. And you can't keep... I mean... It's like one of those things where, you know, there's only so many times you can do this angle before it turns into a cliche. So we'll see. We'll see what they
do. I don't care about people as a fan when they go out there and they lose. I don't care about
them. That's usually the case, but this is women's match. It's not like
But again, you know, if there was a good reason
and it's a guy on the rise, with women, the wins and loss, it's more about getting yourself over.
Well, maybe that's why these women matches don't matter.
Of course they don't, but they're not going to matter anyway. The way WWE books them, if the women's division was treated differently, it'd be one thing. But it's not. You can't. You know, it's like me getting mad. How can they let Drew McIntyre lose to Torito? You know what I mean? It's like I'm not mad. I mean, it gets old, but I mean the point is, it's like
Drew McIntyre isn't in line for a title match.
Yeah, but she got herself over. If she wasn't getting herself over with the gimmick, I would completely agree with you. But she is.
Is anyone really talking about Alicia Fox?
And then
who's talking about Alicia Fox?
You're worrying about winning and losing when they found a way to get somebody over and break her out of the pack.
She wouldn't have got over just as big if she'd have beaten Emma, if she'd have won her match.
If she'd won her match and not done the freak out afterwards, no, not nearly.
She can win her match and have a freak out.
But then why would she have a freak out?
I don't know. She had a freak out last week after she won.
Yeah, I guess so.
And people were talking about her.
But what is Brian? What does it matter? I mean, you're like, we're going 10 minutes.
It matters because we've got a writing crew coming up that doesn't get wrestling. And this certainly isn't helping matters.
This is not an example of it because the performer is getting over. If it's a performer not getting over, you can make the argument. This is a gimmick that works.
I can't believe you're defending
it. Gimmicks, but I don't complain about stuff that works. I mean, if it wasn't working,
it's working. Who's talking about Alicia Fox?
I just hear more people talking about Alicia. Brian, more people are talking about Alicia Fox than anything they're doing in the women's division right now.
All right.
So, I mean, it's
and so she can't win this match.
She could have won the match, but what does it matter?
All right, fine.
It doesn't matter in this situation.
How about RVD and Cesaro? Does that matter? Another number one contender beaten in this match.
Yeah, but it's Cesaro's also going for a championship. So,
so why do we put these guys together in a match tonight and beat one of them?
I can't argue that one because the reality is that RVD shouldn't have lost going into the championship match, and because he needs the help. But I guess in their minds, they're going with the idea that I think that they're again it was Barrett's distraction that led to RVD losing, so you're building that program up. However, RVD is flat, and I would not have in this case. I agree with you. You know, I mean, RVD, RVD's not strong enough, and no one's talking about him, and it's not a match people want to see, and it does flatten whatever that match is out a little bit. But I think that their priority is, well, obviously their priority is Cesaro above RVD. So, you know, if you're going
to
do
that. All I know
that,
is all I hear is people crying about the network numbers, and we got to figure out a way to get the network numbers up. And then I watch this show, and I watch this booking, and it's just like, well, goddamn, no wonder no one's buying this network for your pay-per-views.
Yeah, this pay-per-view isn't that strong, other than the main event. It's very much a one-man show. I mean, when you really look at this card, I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro are probably going to have a good match, but it's not like it's anything that you don't see on TV every week. And then, what, you know, Cena, like I said, Cena and Wyatt has already passed its peak, and it's actually got negative. I get a negative feeling from that program. And then, obviously, they're going to have to start changing stuff, but I wonder what they're going to do next. I wonder where they go. I mean, you know, I mean, Batista's going to be gone most likely after this one. So the Shield and the Evolution is done. You can go with the Shield and the Wyatts, but you know that's also been done. I mean, they'll have good matches. I don't know that as a main event. I don't know. I'm really interested actually in next week's TV to see the new direction after this, because this has kind of like been. You know, Cena and Wyatt's been something that they've extended from, you know, since WrestleMania, and Evolution and the Shield was a stopgap measure. I mean, it's planned to be a one-show thing to get the Shield over for wherever they're going next, and then it became a second-show thing because of Batista, and now with Bryan out, it's going to be interesting. As far as like, you know, the next pay-per-view is the Money in the Bank, so I guess we're going to be building around ladder matches with all the Cesaros and Barretts and RVDs and everyone like that, just throwing them all in there. So it's the whole Money in the Bank and something. I mean, you need something more than just the Money in the Bank matches, and I wonder what that will be. I don't know if Bryan, I don't know if Bryan's, maybe Bryan will be ready because they advertised him for Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is before Money in the Bank. So perhaps he's, you know, perhaps it'll be, I don't know. Who does Bryan go against? Is it Bray?
Well, maybe Stephanie makes a new champion and you have a ladder match for both, all four belts.
You know what? I guess it's probably, if Bryan comes back, I guess it's got to be Kane now that I think about it, which is not a match that, you know, I really need to see again. But storyline-wise, that's got to be the first one. So, yeah, and then you put then.
If they do Bryan and Kane again, I don't want to hear any complaints about this network number.
Well, based on the storyline and everything like that, they, you know, what else do they have? I mean, Bryan's got to get his revenge. You either put it on a TV match or you put it on a pay-per-view. And I would try to find a stronger challenger for the pay-per-view, but I don't know who the guy is. That's the problem, because your alternatives are, you know, it's Randy Orton, Triple H. You can always do Triple H again. Kane and Bray. That's it, right? I mean, who else is there? They don't have anybody else ready.
Well, I hope it's not Bray if he loses to Cena on Sunday, although
maybe he'll win. I don't know. I you know, all I know is that I'm just, you know, I guess maybe that cage match really turned me off. But and just the way this program is going, and just watching Bray's interview, I mean, it's like it's just so much of it was just, even though like it did kind of at the end because of Lawler get him over as a heel, I'm watching this interview where he's plugging the city and he's getting the people to sing. And it's like, okay, if you want to turn him babyface, turn him babyface.
Well, the problem is they don't know what they're doing, because at the same time they're doing this, the only reason they did this Lawler angle is obviously they were trying to get him over as a heel.
Right.
And it's like, well, if you're trying to get the guy over as a heel, why is everything else he does a babyface? You know, singing along.
And plus, the whole nature of that promo, he's talking to the people, you know, like, you know, he's hitting the roots with people, you know, you work so hard and your boss and this and this. And it's all that stuff that, like, you would have a...
We're all against John Cena, and they cheer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all, his promo was such a babyface promo, and it was the cool babyface thing. I mean, it very much reminded me of, you know, the Hall and Nash stuff when they would just... Barry, you know, the WCW baby faces, and, you know, the long term of that was pretty much disastrous, if you remember. Obviously you did, you wrote the book. I was kind of like what I was feeling watching. It's like you're doing this, you know, it's not putting over the baby face. Cena seemed to have some support here. Of course, then again, he was saving Jerry Lawler. I guess that's probably where he got it from. But yeah.
All right, let's start at the beginning here. Started with Hunter and Steph coming out, and she said tonight is all about choices. Said that Brian needed to do the right thing for business, relinquish the title. She said the fans deserved to have a champion that would defend the belt every night, and his body just couldn't do that. And Hunter said, that's what you get when you have a B-plus body. He said that Brian was a flash in the pan, guy who couldn't stand the test of time, couldn't adapt, and so he was going to perish. Just like The Shield would this coming Sunday, he announced a contract signing tonight. And he said they can adapt by not showing up at Payback, or they can sign the contracts tonight and they can perish. So then Steph calls out Brad Maddox, and she reminded us that last week Brad had allowed The Shield to come down to the ring during that match where nobody except the wrestlers were supposed to be down there. And only officials. Only officials.
Only officials, no wrestlers. Everyone was banned from ringside except officials. And somehow, I don't know how guest commentators are officials, but I guess for the purpose of the storyline, I guess they are.
Well, they're not wrestlers.
Yeah, but they're not.
I
think like officials are like, you know, people who are stationed at ringside.
Sure, they were the official timekeeper and...
That was Triple H and... Yeah, no, Triple H and Orton, sure. But
sure.
But I'm talking about the you know, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
Well, they were signed to be officials.
I don't know. Like I said, guest commentators, you know, usually aren't what you would call officials, but I guess, like I said, for the storyline, I guess we have to accept that they were.
So he said he didn't want to do it, but they had forced him, they'd beaten him up, and she said, well, we don't have a choice either. And so Kane came out, Hunter punched Brad, Kane chokeslammed him, Kane tombstoned him, and then Stephanie fired him. So that is the end of Brad Maddox as the Raw GM, and it was also a... played into the angle of Stephanie threatening to fire Brie Bella later, which we'll get to.
I wonder what happens to Brad.
Well, JBL noted he was wearing a buffed-up T-shirt, so maybe he'll be a wrestler.
He won't do very well as a wrestler.
Well, he didn't do very well as a Raw GM either.
No, he didn't. I wonder if he becomes like they fire him. Like the last time they fired someone as a GM was Vicky, who ended up as a SmackDown GM about a couple weeks later. And since Vicky's leaving, but I don't know exactly when, that would be so stupid. And then again, it was with Vicky as well. If he ends up like on SmackDown now.
Maybe he could be the main event GM.
Why not? I guess. It's still stupid, but I'm wondering if they're just getting rid of him. I mean, it's like, he doesn't really serve any purpose. So, I mean, if they got, you know, and they really hadn't even, like, people probably had half forgotten that he was even a GM, you know, I mean, because what do you need with a GM when you've got Triple H and Stephanie all over the TV anyway? So, he really didn't have a strong purpose, and they're the heels, so, I don't know. I haven't heard, like, if he's going to be put off TV or if they're going to come up with something for him yet. Probably find out tomorrow or Wednesday, but. Just kind of curious about this.
So RVD and Cesaro had a match. Bad News Barrett came out, so today was the first day of summer. I've got bad news for Barrett. It is not the first day of summer here today. He said that RVD's Indian summer was going to end on Sunday. Also, that we are fat.
Isn't Indian summer in like September?
It's like September, August, September.
I always thought it was like, you know, after Labor Day.
RVD's is ending early.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really sure about this Indian summer stuff, but it just rings a bell that it's like after Labor Day. So
that's why I said it's ending early.
Season.
It's ending early.
What?
That's why I said it's ending early.
Hasn't even started yet.
Either is summer.
No, summer's a couple weeks away.
Bad News Barrett fucked all of this up, essentially.
And I would blame this one on the writers. I really can't blame it on him.
Well, in storyline, Bad News Barrett.
From England, and they don't. They don't have summer.
No,
I'm just teasing. Of course they do, but you know what I mean.
So anyway, Cesaro caught him, RVD that is, with a moonsault as he came off the apron and dropped the side of his face on the dashboard. No idea what he was thinking. Poor RVD. So he made a big comeback, hit a dive on a Cesaro, super kicked the hell out of Barrett, who was doing commentary. And of course, that led to Barrett distracting RVD, and Cesaro pinned him with a bridging German suplex. RVD looking super strong heading into this pay-per-view. And then Sheamus ran in and beat up Cesaro, hit him with the brogue kick, and that was that.
Yeah. I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro is a bigger match than RVD and Barrett, but yeah, I don't know why they felt the need to do that to RVD. Didn't really, you know, again, when you need help, you give them help. When you don't need help, then you can take it away. I think that they misread him, but or just don't care. You know, but and again, now this is the thing is, when it comes to these pay-per-views, those are the kind of matches that it really would be good if you had those kind of matches strong, especially when you don't have the champion, you know, the championship match in play in the pay-per-view. You really want to do everything you can for some of these undercard matches, and you know, I guess RVD and Barrett, I think it's probably just a throwaway to them. I don't know how you make it that exciting. Although they did have RVD win the Beat the Clock and then beat him here. So, yeah, probably not the smartest thing.
It's Summer Rae and Eva. I believe that Eva is supposed to be the babyface, but she was hated here.
She was supposed to be the babyface. Now tell me, since I did not watch Total Divas this week, I don't think I watched any of it because I was trying to catch up from the weekend. So no, I did not watch Total Divas. So what's the story with Summer Rae and Eva and their feud? Because I know that on SmackDown, they were, you know, Summer Rae was really screwing with Nikki Bella and Eva. So she must have some feud that, you know, like this is where they really need to show clips of Total Divas instead of presume that everyone watched it. Because much of the Raw audience doesn't watch Total Divas. In fact, probably since the most of the Raw audience is male and most of the Total Divas audience is much smaller than the Raw audience and most of the Total Divas audience is women, that you know, when you're doing something like that, playing off the show, and they have in the past, they have shown the clips, and here they didn't. They just kind of told us. So what the hell's going on?
Well, what happened was Eva and Summer were working together
right,
on Total Divas, and then they had a tag team match. Or no, so they're working together. Mark Carano assigned them to be a tag team.
Right.
And so they went and they were working on kickouts, which we talked about last week. So Summer concluded that Eva sucks, which
does.
Is true, because yeah. Eva has trained about a month before she made it to the main roster. So Summer decided that since she sucked so bad...
Yeah, but you know what? She's been around for a year and she still sucks, so I can't do that the 1 month in developmental excuse any longer.
Yes, but this was the excuse.
When she started, she absolutely had that excuse. She's been on the... You know, she's been around. She's had a year of training. And, you know, she's probably... I mean, like, look at Charlotte Flair. Didn't she start around the same time?
Yes, she sucks.
She is. According to granted that she, you know, that's probably the most unfair comparison in the world. So let me think. Who else? Well, Sasha Banks, you know.
Plenty of them.
What's her name? Alexa Bliss?
Sure.
She's
better
camp,
than
right?
Eva.
Didn't she come a little, did she come, let's see, who was at the camp with Eva? Lana, but Lana doesn't wrestle. I don't even remember if Alexa Bliss was, when Alexa Bliss came in. But Alexa Bliss is far, far more advanced. You know, she's green, but she's far more advanced than Eva.
The point is, Eva sucks. And so
Eva sucks. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so Summer decided in a tag match that she was not going to tag Eva in at all.
Well, it'll make the match better.
That's what I thought. But Eva felt
right.
Eva felt double-crossed. All of the other women sided with Eva. Don't even ask me why, because it's a television show. And so Summer Rae was shunned, and that's why they are having this feud.
Okay. And is that why that Summer is not getting invited to the wedding?
Yeah, they all hate her.
Okay.
And so that's the storyline there.
So where does Nikki fit in?
All of the girls are friends with Eva right now, so she's, you know.
Bree's the one that didn't invite her to the wedding, but she screwed with Nikki.
Yes, but Bree and Summer had a blow up in the past.
Oh, I know. No, I saw Brian Summer's blow up. I'm trying to figure where does Nikki fit in.
Well, Nikki fits in because everybody loves Eva and they hate Summer. That's the whole tie-in.
Okay, I remember when they all hated Eva.
Yeah, they sided with her after the tag-in incident.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, So that's the deal.
Yeah. Anyway, they have this match, and it is very quick. Eva, I believe, tried to pretend that her own shoe was untied and then attacked Summer when Summer was distracted. I think that's what they were trying to do. It was very bad. Fans chanted for Daniel Bryan. Thankfully, Fandango came out quickly. He and Layla danced and kissed on the up on the stage. Summer was jealous. Eva rolled her up for the pin, which was just about the worst roll-up you can do and still achieve it. And then Summer had a freak out, and maybe she shouldn't have broken his heart on Total Divas. We wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
It's all her fault. It's all her fault.
Well, they needed a heel on the show, and Eva wasn't doing the job.
Actually, Eva was a great heel.
Eva?
Yeah. On Total Divas?
They turned her baby face.
So completely unlikable.
You know what, though? It's hard when she has her uterus problem and all that. At that point, you start feeling sorry for her.
Well, yeah, but if you've got a good heel, you don't have to put that on the show.
That's a good point.
I mean, honest to God, they put that on the show and they've not mentioned it since.
Who even knows if that's real? I mean, because it's like you know, so much of that stuff, like some of it's real and some of it's completely made up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, do you really believe that, like, what's her name, Cameron, like, let the cat get away? I mean, that was so badly scripted. You know, the cat get away when Natalya was in New York or wherever she was.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows?
Especially the idea on that show that TJ and Natty live together, but in order to get some time together, they had to go to New York. What?
That's pretty strange, huh?
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So Orton and Dave had a meeting. Cody and Goldust showed up. They wanted a match. Orton said the two of them were lucky to even be there. They had a big argument. And finally, Hunter came up, and he signed them to a special match later on tonight.
So no Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose after all.
Nope. Plans change. They probably need that for next week. When they got to continue this feud.
How do they continue this unless they get a new member of the Evolution?
Maybe they will.
Yeah, always could.
We had Drew McIntyre and Torito. Drew tossed him around. 3MB attacked the Matadors outside. Drew was distracted. The Bull pulled him off the top rope. Pretty sure Drew was supposed to hit his head on the post, but nobody noticed it. Announcer said nothing.
I thought that Drew was supposed to crotch himself, but he didn't do that either.
I'm almost positive he was supposed to hit his head because he fell off the top rope and he was grabbing his head. So, anyway. He got pinned by the Bull, and then the heel surrounded the Bull. Hornswoggle attacked him and ripped off his tail, which the Bull sold by grabbing his ass and running up the ramp.
Yeah, this was, you know, I don't know. I was watching this and I was thinking, like, this is stuff that's very counterproductive. Because it's like the idea that it's like a real tail and he really hurts and all that. I mean, I know it's like the minis match and minis are made for like juvenile comedy and all, but just watching that, it was just, I mean, all I could think of is like, okay, you do stuff like that and now you wonder why you're having trouble getting good ad rates and getting good, you know, TV rights fees. And you wonder why people give you no respect, and it's like, how can you not when, you know, every mini is like a child, and now it's like it running around holding his ass because they pulled his tail off. I mean, it's just like, oh God, it was just very. If you're a wrestling fan and someone's watching, this was one of those, oh God, you know, makes you like kind of ashamed, really.
They announced that the Bull and the Hornswoggle are going to have a mask versus hair match in the pay-per-view.
Hornswoggle did try to unmask him as well.
That's right.
After, you know.
Tried to tear his face off.
Well, no, they admitted it was a mask because it's a mask. You know, they didn't say a face versus hair match.
Well, no, but JBL said he was trying to tear his face off.
Yeah, well.
Why is the mask a mask, but the tail is real?
I don't have an answer to that, but why, if you're putting the mask at stake, would JBL say he's trying to tear his face off?
I don't know.
It should be a face versus hair match.
Hair versus face?
Yeah, or just say it's a mask, right? That way you're not insulting anyone's intelligence, but that's not as funny. Although I didn't really find that all that, you know, the idea that that's his face all that humorous.
We had Bray coming out. He's got the whole world in his hands. He said he wanted what was best for the fans. said, we have to make sacrifices. We have to fight against the man. He said, stand behind me if you're my friend. And he said,
it's like almost like a Dusty Rhodes promo.
Yeah.
What's more babyface than a frickin' Dusty Rhodes promo?
John Cena is an enemy, he said. But fear not, Cena will fall at the pay-per-view. And then he called Lawler into the ring. Lawler didn't want to go in. So Luke and Rowan went outside. And JBL is standing up for Lawler, saying he's had a heart attack. He can't do this. So Luke, keep this in mind, everybody. Luke lays him out with a clothesline. A clothesline, I might add, that later JBL said was the hardest clothesline he'd ever been hit with. So he's down. Jerry gets in the ring. Bray is upset that Lawler has said all these great things about Cena. He's put him over. He never questions his morality. He's fed this poison to the people. So they're about to lay out Lawler when Cena runs down and makes a save. He gets overwhelmed. It's 3-on-1. Wyatt cuts a promo on him saying he's going to hurt Cena at the pay-per-view, but now he wants Cena to watch him as he hurts Lawler. Says it's all his fault. Usos run down to make the save. All the baby faces clear the ring. And then Cena cuts his promo on Bray, saying he crossed a serious line tonight and that he was going to pay at the pay-per-view on Sunday. Payback is not about winning or losing. It is about being the last man standing, and it will be a bitch.
You know, they dropped the whole thing with the kids.
They did get rid of the kids.
Yeah. You know what else they got rid of? They got rid of that frickin' the network thing, too.
The
gimmick.
Well, they got rid of that last week.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing they were supposed to, when they put the campaign was supposed to go through May 31st, and they dropped it. Yeah, they dropped it. They actually dropped it last week. But I mean, there was no mention. I mean, there was like no mention of it at all. Like it doesn't even exist.
I have a theory that they did it the first week, and they got almost nobody signing their friends up. And they realize that we can either A, give up now, or we can continue to push it really, really hard and come off like we're begging.
Yeah.
And so they just stopped.
I don't know. I wish I like had a better read on how they were doing business wise. The fact that they're so secretive means that we have to speculate, but
I didn't hear from one single solitary human being in any form of personal communication or social media that in any way talked about how they signed a friend up for the network. Not one.
You know what? I didn't either. That's not good.
No.
I guess maybe it didn't work out that well.
So,
pulling out their hair now.
I'm sure they are. Maybe if they promoted these pay-per-views better, that might help.
They don't have any, you know, I do agree with you there but they don't really have, like in this show, they don't really have much to promote. They don't have a very good card, but and the only match that, you know, again, they did promote the main event well, but as far as promoting the show, man, it was, did they even say the show was in Chicago?
Yes, they did, because I specifically remember thinking about how no one's even talking about CM Punk right now.
Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't really hammered. I guess as far as like the, you know, ticket sales, though, it doesn't really matter because I know the advance was very strong, so they're probably already sold out, so they don't really have to say that, but I didn't think that, like, as far as mentioning the show, and they certainly never mentioned that you could still get it if you know what I mean. Like, they didn't do the, well, you know, like last show, like if you have a if you have a satellite, you can't get it, but if you got basic cable, you can still get it. There was nothing telling you, you know, if you have cable, you can still get it.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, it was really pushed as just the network. That again, we're. Just by the fact that we're only 2 months away from WrestleMania, even less, actually less than 2 months, and they still had, you know, whatever it was, just under 2/3 of the WrestleMania buyers from last year by number, obviously it's not all the same people, we're still buying it even with the network in play, tells me that there's a lot of money left on the table. Or at least some money left on the table, and by just, you know, deciding that we're pulling everything, we're not going to even advertise, we're not even going to bother to tell people that you can get it on your local cable. I don't know about that. That's almost like saying that, like, we're, you know, we know where this is going to be in a couple of years, and we're going to get there, even though it's going to cost. We're leaving money on the table to get there. It just doesn't make any. It really doesn't make any sense.
Well, they did use the term pay per view about 9,000 times for those people that are traditionally getting it on pay per view. So
yeah, but that's because when they called it special events, they thought that nobody like understood what that meant.
Well, it is.
I mean, they're going to call it pay per view in a year.
Should be called pay per view forever.
Yeah. Hey, look, Dixie calls it pay-per-view when it's on free TV.
I mean, even if you're buying the network, you're still paying to view it.
But you're not really. Well, I don't want to get into a freaking discussion on that. It's a term. I mean, like technically, no.
But you are. You're paying $9.99.
You're paying for the network. You're not paying per pay-per-view. Like HBO is not.
Right. Technically, you're not paying per view, but right. It is
HBO
still a paid product.
HBO is not pay-per-view. HBO is a subscription channel. Pay-per-view is you pay per event, per show. So it's not the same thing, but it doesn't really matter. And like I said, like Dixie promotes pay-per-views, although they haven't been doing that lately, have they?
No.
And I didn't even think about that.
Maybe they dropped it.
Yeah, they were doing like, you know, every month they would have, you know. And they did they would do 2 weeks sometimes, but you know they did the whole thing of you're getting your pay per view on Spike, which made absolutely like that actually made completely no sense. But
so then we add the Zack Ryder versus Rusev. Zack Ryder came out as the patriotic American, and Rusev was told to crush immediately, so he camel clutched him and beat him. It's your special holiday squash match. Biggie then ran down. Quick brawl. Biggie sent him packing and then waved the flag like a wild man.
Well, Rusev was creaming him for a while until Biggie actually made a comeback and hit him with a body block and sent him. I tell you what, that Rusev is a freaking tank. I mean, it really hit me when I saw him going back and forth with Big E. Because Big E is a freaking huge guy in person. And Rusev was I mean, like, he's bigger than Big E. This guy's a goddamn, like, you know.
He's very large. Now, why? This seems like an odd feud in the sense that I would not bring in Rusev and have him lose his first big feud.
Hell no.
But Big E doesn't look like a guy that I see them just feeding to Rusev.
I think they've given up on Big E, so I actually do see it.
Really?
We'll find out. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't sense, you know, because look at like, I don't sense that they you know, they're not doing anything with Big E anymore. I don't know, you know, they got their reasons. They already gave, you know, they gave him that push, what it was a couple months ago for about 2 weeks, and ever since then it's really been downhill. They gave him that Intercontinental title, and you know that was kind of like the kiss of death.
So we had Stephanie backstage having a meeting with Alberto Del Rio, supposedly about what she was going to do with the title. We had Orton and Batista against the Rhodes Brothers. Goldust got a hot tag. They cut him off, went to work. Cody made a big comeback, ran wild, kicked Dave off the apron, went for the disaster kick on Orton, and got RKO'd in midair.
Orton, that was a cool spot.
It was a good spot. Orton then lifted him up, hit him with another RKO, pinned him. And then Justin Roberts made the announcement that, in fact, this was, he had just been alerted, he said. This was now an elimination match. It is now Goldust versus Orton and Batista in a handicap, no holds barred match. And so, of course, they double teamed and destroyed Goldust. Big Dave powerbombed into death for the pin. Zero dissension between the Rhodes Brothers tonight.
Yeah, that was, and they haven't been on TV a lot lately either for about a week or two. Have they dropped that angle?
Probably dropped it again.
I mean, they certainly have slowed it down because I was really liking that angle. And now, I guess maybe they just thought that you know, since they're not doing it on the pay per view right now that and they're promoting the pay per view that maybe they won't focus on it. But I would want to at least have had at least like this little hint tonight of something. Unless they, you know, and if they have dropped it, then that's really bad because. They fuck these guys if they drop this angle, because they're, you know what I mean. They're really in bad shape unless they get this angle going. Even with the angle, long term, I'm not really thinking so much for those guys. But at least short term, if they work with each other, they'll probably have good matches, and they'll they get promo time. I'm guessing they'll be able to do some good promos, or at least Cody will, because it seems like Cody really wants it. So I hope that, God, they don't have that much going on. I hope that they do something with this, with that angle now. And I hated the idea, but God, I hate the idea of starting something and having it be good and then dropping it before you get there.
So we had Bo Dallas and Sin Cara again. I just saw this on SmackDown. JBL, by the way, returned. He's fine. And he said that Lawler thanked him. JBL said it was the hardest clothesline I'd ever been hit with in my life, but I heard the commentary backstage, decided to come back and save the show. Way to bury everybody.
But that's his gimmick.
Luke Harper's clothesline, commentary team.
He didn't bury Luke Harper's clothesline.
Huh?
He said it was the hardest clothesline he's ever been hit with.
And he was out a match later.
What's one clothesline? People usually don't die from clotheslines.
I'd have been pissed off if I were him. Anyway, Bo...
What, you expect him to, like, be in the hospital and dead?
Well, no, but perhaps he could not return for this show.
I would have liked for him not to return for the show, too, but they evidently...
Doesn't need to be carted out to the morgue or anything, but...
No.
I agree.
I didn't want him back either. I was disappointed when he came back. I thought that it just...
Especially because he was so flippant about it.
Yeah. But he tried to put the guy's clothesline over strong when he came back.
Sure.
It wasn't like they didn't follow up on that. But I didn't like the fact that he came back.
So Bo, after Bo made his debut. Have you seen SmackDown yet?
Yes.
My God, all I could watch was his belly jiggling.
Well,
was I the only one?
You didn't get to see it this week.
No, actually you did, because after he won this match and he did his victory run, they showed a slow motion shot of him running and his belly jiggling. But they did send him out in a t-shirt this time.
Yes.
Which was an improvement. He won the match with the Bo Dog. I swear to God is what they're calling it.
I know. Can you imagine?
I can't even believe this.
Now, did they... not know, or is that a takeoff on Bo Dog?
They're going to claim, I'm sure, that they didn't know, but I mean, come on. Bo Dog, how could you not know?
You could not know.
I know!
You could, yeah, but that's because it was the name of an MMA promotion.
That's true.
But you could not know, but I just think that it's like, because I would think if they knew, that would be a term they specifically wouldn't do. So I'm thinking they don't know.
Well, they're going to know soon. So anyway,
you're right. They'll know soon.
Exactly the same as SmackDown. Beat the guy, gave him a hug, victory lap, whole nine yards.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with this guy.
Yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. There were aspects of the presentation I really liked, but I wasn't convinced that he's going to be a big star, and I wasn't convinced that he was going to fail either. It was just kind of, we'll see. You know. I mean, but they put it over strong. They're clearly trying with him, because a lot of guys they'll bring in and you can tell that they're really not trying. And him, they're very clearly trying. So hopefully it works. As far as like his interview and talk and stuff like that, I mean, he was fine. Wrestling, wasn't good or bad.
So then after that, we had the Stephanie deal. She called out Brian. He came out with a neck brace in his belt. She said it was great to see him. Said she could strip him right now, but it would make him a martyr. She wanted him to vacate the belt and to tell the fans.
That was always good. It's like, if I do that, it'll make you more popular. It's like,
yeah.
Isn't that the idea?
Yeah, that is the idea. Said the fans deserve a regular working champion who can give them great matches, which he is now physically unable to do. It sounds like she's talking about John Cena. Said to do the right thing for the fans. Not for me, she said, for the fans. And he said, well, you know what? The neck injury was worse than I thought. He blamed it on Kane. Said there was no shame in handing over the title, healing, and then coming back and winning it again. And she promised, if you do that, I'll give you a title shot when you come back. And he said, oh, I'd love to do that again. So he says, the people deserve a great champion, but you're not making this about me, you're making it about yourself. He said that she had been trying to strip him ever since he beat her husband. He said it would negate everything he had done if he handed over to her, so he was going to tell her a word that she was not used to hearing, a word that she had probably not heard since she was a child, and that is no. And he got the crowd chanting no, loudest chant of the night thus far. And she said she knew he was going to let his ego get in the way. And so she brought up that Bree had shoved her 2 weeks ago, showed the footage, said you cannot put your hands on the boss, and therefore, on Sunday, Brian has to either vacate the title or Bree gets fired. And Stephanie was a fabulous heel here.
I
thought she was great.
Oh, no, no, Stephanie.
Terribly unlikable.
Yeah, no, Stephanie was great. I just thought, you know, like, you push the thing about as far as you can. I thought 2 weeks was about as far as you can push it. Trying to now...
hey, at least they're doing something to get people to get this pay-per-view.
I know, but it felt like when they did it the second week, I thought it was kind of like, this is clever. When they do it a third week, I feel like, man, this is desperate.
Remember when Steve Austin hurt his neck and they did about 9 months of television where they teased he was going to wrestle every single solitary week and he didn't?
Yeah, that's true. But it actually got him over more. But the thing is that they had to come up with really clever ideas to keep him from wrestling and to make him valuable all those weeks when he couldn't wrestle. It's not like they're doing this with Daniel Bryan. I mean, if they did that, I mean, he might get over even more if he can't wrestle and he's, you know, shows up and he's, you know, spraying them with, I don't know, like alfalfa sprouts or something, right?
Sure.
Or whatever you would
green
would
drink
embarrass them. I mean, because the one thing with Austin is he always embarrassed Vince. And the thing with Daniel Bryan is that he never embarrasses them except, you know, at WrestleMania he did. That's the only time.
We had Em and Alicia Fox. Everybody knows.
And the sit-in deal.
That's right.
So I guess it was twice.
Everybody knows what happened here. Emma beat Alicia. She pitched a fit. Screamed she was not a loser. Whole nine yards. We've discussed this. We had Davy Crockett, who was Damian Sandow, against Adam Rose, who is now back in the United States, and thus nobody cares about Adam Rose. He did his thing coming down to the ring. There were some people standing, but that was about it. They only did a couple of spots. Yes, they actually had a match here before Zeb and Swagger came out. They had kidnapped the Lemon from his entourage, and so Sandow tried the distraction finish. It didn't work for the first time in about 50 shows. And then Rose hit him with his finish for the pin, which actually is very similar to Dean Ambrose's finish, actually.
Well, with Dean Ambrose, it's a headlock, and with him, it's a cravat.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it is. It's close enough to where I was surprised, you know, that they would do it. But I guess maybe the feel that you know, it's, you know, the different grip.
So Swagger attacked him afterwards. Rose made a comeback, ran wild on him. No reaction whatsoever to this comeback. And then Rose said, "Nobody touches my Lemon." And then they hit his music. The party started. He body surfed his way to the back. And that was that.
Yeah, well, they never did say that he's wrestling Swagger at the pay-per-view.
Is he?
I presume that he is, but they never outright said it.
Well, maybe I'll have to check WWE.com here. We'll do that in a moment. We had Del Rio and Sheamus, a long match I've seen 5,000 times. Story was that Sheamus suffered some sort of head injury. He was woozy, tried his brogue kick, but got dizzy. Alberto hit him with an enziguri and a super kick, which actually would have been a good finish based on the storyline, but no, he kicked out.
I actually thought that he was going to beat him, the only reason that I kind of thought that they wouldn't is because it would make absolutely no sense. Maybe I should have thought that, right?
Because all of these other finishes made perfect sense leading into the pay-per-view?
Exactly. But I mean, it's, you know, because Del Rio's not even on the pay-per-view or anything. I know Emma's not on the pay-per-view either, but that's, again, this is higher on the card. It's weird because it's like, I guess are they going to do this like in the match as like an excuse for Sheamus to lose the title to Cesaro?
I don't know.
The thing. I mean, I don't know either. I think that's if they don't, then I'm not sure what the purpose of this was. Because if it was purpose to just do a spot in the match, I think that, you know, I don't know. I think this should be something that they use on the pay-per-view where You know, Sheamus goes, you know, goes for the bro kick or even hits the bro kick, gets dizzy, can't continue. Cesaro gets the championship somehow.
The hell is the entire card for this show is infuriating. Can't even find the entire card on their show.
What?
Or on their website. All right, here we go. I guess I can't. Can you just give me the...
Well, they got the Torito and Hornswoggle. We know that.
John Cena's best matches. Last match.
John Cena's best matches.
All right, forget it. Doesn't matter.
CM Punk.
All right, contract signing. Shield came out.
But you couldn't find the card?
I'm on the payback site here, and it's like, here's a match preview for John Cena. Go to the network. Connect to the network. How to watch.
Did they tell you can order on pay-per-view? On your cable system?
I'm trying to find it here. There's matches, for the love of God. All right.
Should have matches. I mean, look, if they don't even have matches on their own website, then they that tells you what the future of pay-per-view is for them.
All right, I've got it here.
All right.
This is their card this far. The Shield versus Evolution.
Okay, Elimination, we know this.
John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Bad News Barrett versus Rob Van Dam for the Intercontinental title.
Right.
Got Sheamus versus Cesaro for the U.S. title. Hair versus Mask, Hornswoggle and El Torito. And Paige versus Alicia Fox. That's all they've got announced.
Well, we've only had to go home Raw, so...
That's five matches.
Why not announce a couple of matches?
A pre-show and five matches we've got announced.
Yeah. And five matches plus the pre-show match.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they do the contract signing. Shield came out and knocked over the table. Ambrose said this was the last time you were going to see Shield and Evolution in the same ring. Evolution was going to be eliminated out of the business forever, he said, which I doubt. So the ring was completely cleared. Evolution came out. Hunter said it was a shame. It was the last time the Shield would ever be seen on Raw. He said they could have been something. They had so much potential. They threw it all away. Said he remembered when the ink dried on the contracts they signed to come to WWE, and now, ironically, he was going to watch the ink dry on the end of their careers. He said, are you sure you want to do this? And, of course, they all signed, except for poor Ambrose. He dropped the pen and fumbled all over it. Poor guy. So Reigns threw it at their feet. Crowd was, like, quiet for all of this. And Hunter said they would be nothing but a statistic. They all signed. Roman wanted a fight. Evolution jumped in the ring. They had a big brawl. Seth did a flip dive onto Orton and Hunter outside. Reigns hit the Superman punch on Dave, went for the spear, but Hunter hit him with a jackhammer, or the sledgehammer, because it is a no-holds-barred match. Orton gave Seth the RKO.
Lower, just a shot to the belly.
What did he do to him?
When he hit him with a sledgehammer.
I think he just walloped him with it. I didn't even see where.
Well, the second one, the one at the end was the side of the head, but the one earlier... it wasn't called a low blow, but it looked to me like it was, you know, a low blow, which should have been like a really cool sell. But I guess since he was getting up, maybe, who knows?
And so anyway, they gave him the sledgehammer shot. They gave Reigns the triple power bomb through the announce table, and then the show ended with the Evolution standing tall. So there you go. That's your go home show for payback.
Yeah, like I said, the finish. Did you see what, I'm sure you did, the contract deal?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
I don't know if I have the, I'll find the email here. Somebody paused it. It is HD nowadays. And so you can see, where is it here? Here it is. Fine print on the main event contract. It says that the camera zoomed in on the Shield Evolution contract. It said that WWE is a creative genius and they created the entire universe. That's what it said, so.
Yeah, WWE is a creative genius. That's not even good English.
No. WWE in the contract was a singular being referred to as he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, whatever. Yeah.
All right. Somebody has tweeted me the How to Watch page. If you're interested in getting the pay-per-view.
I already know.
They have listed, let's see, pay-per-view providers here. Bright House, Cable One, Optimum, Charter, Xfinity, Cox, Nology, which I've never even heard of, Mediacom, RCN, Suddenlink, Time Warner Cable, Verizon Fios, and On In Demand. So there you go.
Yeah.
No satellites.
But well, In Demand pretty much covers almost all the cable systems.
Sure. Sure. All right.
Unless there's somebody that's like, unless there's certain systems that have pulled out. Now, they didn't say Comcast, did they?
I believe Comcast would be Xfinity.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So there you go. How was Jim Ross doing boxing tonight?
Pretty good. I always, you know, first time, I thought, you know, like, I don't know. It was first time with very little lead time. He was very good. He can do any, you know. I like it. Like, I have always been one of those guys where the Jim Ross to MMA thing, it's like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jim Ross training to do MMA in a couple months could walk in and be really good at it because, I mean, he could. I always also thought that he would have a slow learning curve. Not learning curve. That wouldn't even be right. But that he wouldn't be great the first time. But now it's like he could walk in, you know, and do a show, you know, in Berlin, you know, like the Berlin show this weekend, and he would be just fine. I mean, because he obviously knows MMA better than he knows boxing. These were, you know, and he was fine. He relied on Dave Bontempo, who was his color guy. But he just, yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a gimmick, you know, I mean, that was the whole idea. And, you know, they had him on the Fox Sports show afterwards. I mean, the whole thing, the show was actually built more around Jim Ross as the announcer more than the boxing. And with the idea that, I mean, it actually was pretty stupid in this sense, because of all the times to put Jim Ross as announcer, you put it head to head with Raw on a Monday night on Memorial Day, no less. I mean, I don't know that the announcer was going to make a difference in ratings anyway, but the idea of why they put him there was a gimmick to draw ratings. It was not because they thought he would be a great announcer. Not that they didn't think he would be fine, but he was, you know, he did not come across like a gimmick. He did not, you know, he was an announcer. He did a good job. You know, Fox is using him a lot more. They had him on, you know, he was on UFC Tonight. He was on Fox, what's the sports, Fox Sports Live or whatever, the news show that they do at 11. I mean, they're using him a lot. So that tells me that like, they view him as a commodity, you know, as a Fox Sports commodity right now. I don't know if, you know, again, if he'll do MMA, if he'll do football. Because he could do either one right now. And football, he always could have done. I mean, and they talked to him about football. You know, I mean, on the Fox Sports Live shows. So he did good. From what I saw, I didn't see the whole show, but I saw more than enough to know that there was, you know, there was a moment where I saw problems, but they were problems that, you know, I could tell were. From the Fox Sports side on certain graphics and everything where, you know, he was reading the graphic and everything, but the graphic should have had more info than it did. But he read what was there. It wasn't like, you know, couldn't read or anything. You know, so, yeah, he was good.
All right. The New Japan lineup for the next show. Take us through that.
Well, they got a couple things. They're going to do four iPay-per-views in the next month. They're going to do May 30th, June 3rd, and June 8th as Top of the Super Junior shows. The 8th is the championship, the final night. The 30th is the first night, and the 3rd is, you know, the Cork and Hall show. And then the next big one is Osaka on June 21st. And that is interesting, more because of what the I don't know if it's the main event, but because actually the main event, I guess what's interesting is the main event is Shinsuke Nakamura against Bad Luck Fale for the Intercontinental Championship, and I know that they did have a really good match in the Intercontinental or in the New Japan Cup final, but for a pay-per-view main event, I think that's really weak. I mean, it's almost like they're booking. I don't know. They're running through the same things over and over, But this card coming up, you know, for all the great cards they've had in Osaka over the last year, and last many years, and this just feels like if I'm in Osaka, I'm looking at this going like, oh man, this is a weak pay per view, you know, with Nakamura and Fale on top, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows defending the tag team title against Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe, which that'll be a good match, I mean, probably really good, but it's again, you don't have that big world title, like that match is fine third from the top. I think it's a little weak second from the top. Nakamura and Fale is to me a weak intercontinental. I'm just not, I know that they're the big guy and all that, and he's their guy and all that, but I'm not, Fale also to me, ever since Prince Devitt left, it's kind of like there's something, the Devitt Fale, chemistry I really liked. But with him gone, it's sort of like they got this guy. He's not very good. He's just kind of there. Why they push him so much? So that's kind of that. They're going to do Kojima and Tenzan against Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer for the NWA Tag Team title. And, they've had good matches over the years, but my God, if those guys wrestle each other how many times on big shows? I just wish that, that they do something new with them, and not there. And Kota Ibushi will be defending the junior heavyweight title against the winner of the Best of the Super Junior tournament, so we'll know that match on June the 8th. And then the other match, I'm trying to think of this. Yeah, those are the only other match is AJ Styles in a tag team. AJ and Yujiro Takahashi against Tomohiro Ishii and Kazuchika Okada. And I was very surprised. I guess the idea, it feels like they booked themselves into a corner because they don't want, I think that they don't have an opponent for AJ ready because Tanahashi's going somewhere else. I really almost, I guess maybe they feel that Nakamura, they don't want to do that one. They don't want AJ to beat Nakamura right now. I'm not sure what the mentality is. I'm sure they have one. But putting him in the tag, I think it just really, it's not like they did that once earlier this year, but that was because they had the two pay-per-views in the same month, where actually it was the same couple-day period, that experiment, which they haven't done since. I could see that if, AJ is going to be defending it on another card this month, but it doesn't look like he is. So the tag kind of is like, I don't know. Probably be a good match, though. AJ against, AJ with Ishii. Different, very different styles, but, Ishii's had the best matches of any wrestler in the world this year, and AJ's been working great. I mean, so many guys, when they leave, a big promotion, so to speak, and then go to Japan as opposed to being in Japan before they go to a big promotion, you get, it's a different kind of mentality and you'll get a different kind of work ethic from them. But boy, AJ, I don't know whatever it is. I mean, he's working as good and as hard as he's ever worked. I mean, he's just looking great. They'll probably have, an AJ with Okada. We've already seen that. That's really good. Yujiro, as a partner, they're trying to get Yujiro up and running. Because he hasn't been doing much for the last year. Yujiro's okay. I think Yujiro needs to really embrace that old gimmick and get that old gimmick back with the women and everything like that. That, to me, he kind of felt like doing that Rick Rude, Val Venus type of role, that it made him different because nobody else was doing it. And now he's just, a heel with blonde hair. It's not as much. But anyway, so that's what they got there.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right, let's do some of these questions here. Is WWE still planning to do the Vince versus Authority angle, or since Stephanie and Hunter are getting more control for real, they're also allowing them to be the new boss on television? He's asking, are we going to see Vince?
I think no, but I can't tell you 100% because I don't really know 100%. I just know that My feeling is that if they were going to do it, they'd have done it when they were going to do it, which was this year's WrestleMania. They didn't. So I don't think they're going to. And Vince has been, you know, far more low-key in a public situation. So we'll see. But I don't know. Maybe he'll show up. Maybe he'll show up at the pay-per-view and save Daniel Bryan from being stripped of the title. Who knows?
Hugh here says, I recall Dave saying or tweeting that John Cena was probably underpaid considering his worth to WWE compared with other major sports stars. With this in mind, does Dave believe that during his WCW run that Hogan was paid fairly given his worth and was maybe the most fairly paid wrestler in the history of the business?
Hogan was paid fairly when they were making money with him, and he was paid fairly, you know, early on because he really did explode their pay-per-view numbers. So at the end, you know, then he was overpaid, but considering what he drew, but that was, and you know what, it was his fault and it wasn't his fault in the sense that nobody could have drawn at that point because they screwed everything up. But he's not blameless because he was part of the, you know, he was part of the package of what destroyed that company and part of the package of what grew the company. So, I mean, as far as, you know, paid fairly, that's a real weird one. But, yeah, I mean, look, you sign a contract and you know, you're helping the company make money at the end, and that's cool. And you know, and when the company's losing money, you know, whatever.
All right, and also in line of this, how underpaid does Dave feel the current recent WWE top-level main event talent outside of John Cena are?
I would have to actually know what everyone is making for specific shows. Right now, I know that people are complaining to me. I have heard some pay-per-view payoffs that shocked me. I mean, shocked me, but they also are guys that are on pretty healthy downsides. And, you know, again...
shocked you low, I presume?
Yeah. I was really surprised at some of the payoffs for SummerSlam and Royal Rumble this year. Really surprised. I mean, you know, so... I mean, just this is not the main eventers, but still, these are certain stars, you know, and... So I can see, believe me, I can see why people are, you know, some people are disgruntled, you know, because they were much lower than I expected.
All right. This person here says, when Flair was in dispute with WCW in 1998, was there any real possibility of him jumping to the WWF? Is it true that it was considered, but Hunter was in Vince's ear telling him Flair was too old, knowing Flair would take a spot he was after? Flair was a huge ratings draw. And even though seriously misused by WCW, it would surely have been a big coup for WWE to take such an established name, and he could have torn it up with Steve Austin.
It's funny because I don't know in 98 how much power Triple H had, but he did say stuff like that publicly, but that's because they were in a war. I don't know if privately he said that. He may have, but I don't know how much. As far as like when everything happened, I actually was in a discussion on that very subject just a couple of days ago, believe it or not. And I mean, he came very close to going. And I mean, I remember when it was going on, I expected him to go. I know he was talking with them. You know, there were times it was really close to happening, and I never could. I think that there was a certain comfort. I don't know, because I mean, it was like WCW wasn't even paying him that great. I mean, they really weren't. It wasn't like if you look at the pay of the guys in WCW. If you look at everyone's pay, Ric Flair would shock you. I mean, because Ric was making like 500, and there were guys like Stevie Ray and Booker T. You know what I mean? Who were making DDP, you know, guys who hadn't done anywhere close and were not the ratings movers that Flair still was, that were making, you know, a lot more. But I can't give you an answer, even though I talked to him about the whole thing. And I don't know. Maybe it was just the idea of the legal bills were really high, and you know, maybe it would have been a legal fight to get out of the contract. And after 8 months of sitting on the sidelines, not making money, you know, it was kind of like an Eddie Alvarez deal in many ways, in the sense of, you know, you can sit there and all that, and in the end, you're probably going to win. But it's gonna, it's, you know, you go so long without money, and you need money, and so you just kind of settle the case, and you don't make the move just yet. And that's, I guess that's kind of real. I think that's pretty much why it happened the way it did. But as far as was WWE interested in him? Yes, they were. How close did it come? They were in unofficial talks. And I was surprised when he came back, but I guess I think that was kind of like the reason. You know, it was, if he went back, it would be, you know, there'd be no legal issues. And if he went to WWE, you know, it'd be more legal bills for him.
All right. This person wants to know, how much English does Kenta speak?
I don't know.
It's a very important question, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Any news on Christian?
Supposed to be back pretty soon. Like imminently.
Mm-hmm. Any day now, so to speak.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. Any day now, yeah.
Raw
or,
crowds.
Or not.
Or not, yeah.
I mean, you know, when it comes to Christian and his returns and everything, when he's cleared in the past, you know, because he's had the concussion problems before, and you know, he's had nothing but injuries the last couple of years. But when he's cleared, sometimes it's months before he shows back up. So and he's advertised on shows, and then they just, you know, it's like they bring him back when they have an idea for him. So like, yeah, it's imminent right now. But anyway, it could be 2 months, but it's imminent right now. That's the status.
All right. Did Vince ever meet Jess McMahon?
I don't think so. I don't know where. I don't even know. You know, I don't even know when Jess died. Other than I think that he died in I think that he died in the same city that Vince got blown up in. Because I seem to remember that was like a symbolic thing, Wilkes-Barre or something.
1954, he passed away.
Okay, so Vince would have been 9. So the odds are very great that he didn't, because he never met Vince Sr. until 1957. So I would say that he probably didn't meet Jess, but I, you know, again, I could be wrong. I've never seen anything written about it one way or the other. So I don't know.
All right, this person says, I know he is done, but I am surprised there hasn't been more buzz about Payback being in Chicago and the chance that Punk could be there. I don't expect it, but is it safe to say that due to the lack of chatter, maybe Punk is out of the fans' minds?
They still chant for him, although they didn't tonight. I mean, he's certainly more out of the fans' mind than he was the last time they were in Chicago, that's for sure. I don't know. I mean, I put it this way. I expect CM Punk chants super loud at that show.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more here. Any word on Bellator pay-per-view numbers?
65,000, maybe?
65,000.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's not an official number, but that's kind of the number that I've been hearing. Yeah, which from a spike standpoint, it was pretty much where they predicted, and they're pleased enough, not unhappy with that number. I don't think they made money on it, but whatever it was, they're okay with it. I think that if it had done a lot less, they would have been pretty sad. I think it was enough to where, you know, they're going to do another one. I mean, it's a sure thing, and they're not unhappy about having to do it. They're talking about doing, you know, 2 a year, maybe 3, when they have the right attraction, when they have the right card. Not going to be, you know, it's not going to be there, have a date, and then we're going to put a card together. It's going to be like when we got something that we think is strong, and then we're going to try to load the card up with it. So that's the mentality behind it. Whether it'll work, whether they'll be able to make it work a second time, on pay-per-view. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a, you know, there was a lot of chatter about this one. I thought the show went fine, really. You know, I mean, some fights were good, some fights weren't. But I mean, as far as a show, a professional-looking show, I thought it was a very professional-looking show. It didn't look like some minor league embarrassing thing other than, you know, the one thing. You know, there was one technical problem, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that bad of a deal. And once the, and that was before, that was on the Spike pre-show anyway. The actual pay-per-view went, it went fine. It was, you know, they won't do as many packages the next time, you know, because they, you know. But I like the packages. I mean, you know, one of the things with UFC is I feel like when I watch UFC, I feel like there's so many of these new guys, and I don't know one from another practically. I mean, I do because I'm studying it, but I'm figuring the average fan doesn't at all, doesn't know most of these guys now, which isn't good. With Bellator, they really make you want to know them. You really don't with them just because they don't feel like they're as important, but they try. The problem with Bellator, and I think this is a big problem to me with Bellator, is that it's like they have this pipeline to Russia, and they got these really, you know, these Russian fighters. A lot of these Russian fighters are very good. And UFC is doing it too. There's a lot of good fighters coming out of there. You know, and obviously they got a pipeline to Brazil, and they've got a lot of good fighters coming out of Brazil. But it's just so many, and I just think like it's not like you shouldn't. It'd be like, you know, like if an American promotion with nothing but Japanese and Brazilian pro wrestlers. It's like they're, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't have some, and with Bellator it's the same thing. It's like at the end of the day, you need to have stars that the fans can relate to, and you want great fighters. But when you have, you know, if they're past a certain level, undercard guys, I think it's better to, you know, promote undercard guys that could possibly, you know, help promote the brand and things like that. And so many of those foreigners, you know, it's just so many. I'm not against any of the headliners or anything like that. It just feels like there's just so many. So anyway, that's a different issue.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We have a surprise coming, but the surprise was delayed due to Memorial Day. So it's coming up in the next couple of days for those wondering. So you can look forward to that and check out the front page for more, everybody. A lot of stuff coming up. We'll talk to you again after a while.